Well, good evening to you, brethren and friends. So good to be with you tonight. I hope you have had a good day. If not, I hope it's already better because we're here worshiping our God in spirit and truth. We're here being edified with our brothers and sisters in Christ and those who are spiritually minded. We invite you to take your Bibles out, please. Be open to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 is where we're going to begin tonight our study of God's Word. As mentioned by Brother Morris, we appreciate those who are in our audience tonight and visiting. We view you as honored guests, encouraged by your presence. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, the wise man Solomon in verse 1 says, "A good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one's birth. Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth." The wise man Solomon in this text speaks of the end of all men. He speaks of the day of one's death and how it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. And he gives the reason why: because the living will take it to heart. And certainly that's true when we attend a funeral service. It tends to capture our undivided attention. It tends to remind us of our mortality and causes us to think on things that are, well, quite sobering and serious about our lives and about the lives of our loved ones. We read it in chapter 8 of Ecclesiastes in verse 8, "No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war, and wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it." And in Psalm 89 and verse 48, the question is asked, "What man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his life from the power of the grave?" And of course, no man can live and not see death. And no, we cannot deliver our life from the power of the grave. In fact, in the New Testament, we read in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." God's Word says you and I have an appointment with death. James, in the next book, in chapter 4, in verses 13 and 14, says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Death, it is an appointment that each and every one of us will most certainly keep. We do not know when, we do not know how, we do not know where, but we know it will happen. Back in the book of Ecclesiastes, again in chapter, this time in chapter 9, the wise man Solomon said in verse 11 beginning, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time. Like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them." I want to ask you tonight, have you ever given much thought about your funeral service? And you might say, well, why would I do something like that? Why would I give that much thought? Well, you know, there's many that do give it a lot of thought, and they plan things out pretty detailed. They have their burial plots, where they're going to be buried, their burial plots picked out and paid for. They know what minister, if he's still living, when they pass, who they want to conduct their service. They maybe have selected songs. They have selected the suit or the dress that they want to be in. Some are very detailed and given a lot of thought and a lot of planning, and others, maybe not so much. And for many, it's not something maybe we really want to think about and dwell upon, is it? But if you haven't given much thought about your funeral service, I would like for you to do so this evening. And if you have, then I would like for you to consider it in a way that perhaps you have not before. What things will be said about you at your funeral? How will you be remembered? Did you impact the lives of those around you for good or for otherwise? Will you be missed or easily forgotten? And what legacy will you leave behind when you have passed from this life? For example, in 2 Chronicles chapter 21, beginning in verse 18, we read, "After all this, the Lord struck him in his intestines with an incurable disease, and it happened in the course of time, after the end of 2 years, that his intestines came out because of his sickness. So he died in severe pain, and his people made no burning for him like the burning for his fathers." He was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and to no one's sorrow departed. However, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. Ladies and gentlemen, these verses describe to us the death of a wicked king, obviously, a wicked king of Judah named Jehoram. And he had married the daughter of Ahab. You remember Ahab and Jezebel? Well, he married their daughter, Athaliah. In fact, he killed all of his brothers with a sword. And he did evil, the text says, in the Lord's sight. And he calls the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit harlotry, the author records, and led Judah astray. But what was his funeral service like? How was he remembered? Well, not so fondly. The people made no burning for him, it says, like the burning of his fathers. And the text reads that Jehoram died to no one's sorrow. How sad. How tragic. Same age as me right now, 40. How sad of a thought that would be. To pass to no one's sorrow. To not be honored in any way. And then you contrast that with this text in 2 Chronicles 35. In 2 Chronicles 35, we read of the death of Josiah. And so he died and was buried in one of the tombs of his fathers, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. Jeremiah, that faithful prophet of God, he also lamented for Josiah. And to this day, all the singing men and the singing women speak of Josiah in their lamentations. They make it a custom in Israel. And indeed, they are written in the laments. Now, the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness, according to what was written in the law of the Lord, and his deeds from first to last, indeed, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. What was Josiah's funeral service like? How was he remembered? How is he still remembered to this day? Though he is dead, he still speaks to us, doesn't he? His faith does, his life does, his righteousness, his character, his spiritual legacy. How will your obituary read? An obituary is basically a snapshot, if you will, of a person's life. Oftentimes it will mention when when and where a person was born, when and where they died. Their age. It may make mention of where they went to school, where they worked, how long they worked there, their hobbies perhaps, maybe their religious faith or denomination, if that were the case, that they belonged to. Those who preceded them in death, those who they are survived by, when and where the visitation, funeral, and the burial will take place. Those sort of things. Here's an excerpt from an actual obituary. Funeral services for Mr. Kelly Lynn, 42 of Cookville, will be conducted at 2 p.m. Saturday, October 12, 2013, from the Chapel of Presley Funeral Home, with Brother Philip Martin officiating. Mr. Lynn passed away on Thursday morning, October 10, 2013, at his home with his family by his side. He was born on October 4, 1971, in Cookville to Don Lynn and Joan Connor Zering. Kelly was a NASCAR fanatic. His family includes, and then list them, he was preceded in death by, and list those. The family would like to express a special thank you to Avalon Hospice for all their service and care. Well, one of the reasons this captured my attention, or grabbed my attention on Facebook when it was posted, is because of my friend Philip. Philip Martin, gospel preacher, faithful gospel preacher in Cookeville, Tennessee. And I had been there before for a meeting. I didn't remember this particular man, Mr. Kelly Lynn, and with him officiating, I sent him a message wondering if he was a member of the church, because I certainly couldn't pick that up from the obituary that he was. And this is how he responded, my friend. He said, yes, his family has a long history with the church here, but he ran with the world until late in his life. He only recently was let out of prison, and I had the privilege of immersing him into Christ. He died from kidney and liver failure. Brethren, friends, if I was writing his obituary, it would have been very, very different. If I was writing about Mr. Kelly Lynn, it would have been much different. I would have spoke about how he was raised in a godly home, with godly influence and godly parents. And when he got older, he made up his mind to go the way of the world. And he had a hard and difficult life as a result of that. But I'd also talk about, near the end of his life, he turned his life to Christ, and he obeyed the gospel of Christ, and he was forgiven of his sins. He became a child of God. He received salvation, and he died with a hope of heaven. I would have said something to that effect, not emphasizing he was a NASCAR fanatic. I think I'd just go ahead and leave that out. I would want to talk about what's most relevant. Here was a man of the world, now here's a man of God. Here was a man that was lost and condemned and had no hope, and now he died with hope of eternal life. But let me ask you, how will your obituary read? How will the blanks be filled in? How will you be remembered? Will your physical accomplishments in life stand out more than your spiritual attributes and successes? Will you be remembered more for your military service, which we certainly honor and respect, or for being a soldier of the cross and of Christ? Will you be remembered for your academic accomplishments in school and college, or for your knowledge of the Scriptures? For your athletic abilities and how you excelled in that area of your life at one time? Will you be remembered for where you worked and how long you worked there? Will you be remembered for what clubs and organizations and societies that you belong to? And will you be remembered for your various hobbies and passions in life, such as fishing and hunting and sewing and painting? And boy, he was a NASCAR fanatic. What will you be remembered for? How will your obituary read? And that will be the focus of the remainder of the lesson. How will you be remembered at your funeral service? I want you to give that serious contemplation. Because here's the facts. Here's the facts. We're all going to die. Here's another fact. We don't know when. We're not promised tomorrow, so we must not boast about tomorrow. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. And what is our life is but a vapor that appears for a short time and then vanishes away. This may be my last night. Someone may be doing my funeral service in the next few days. Don't know. Or yours. How will I be remembered? How will you be remembered? That you obeyed the gospel of Christ to be forgiven of your sins, to receive salvation, that you became a New Testament Christian, that you heard the gospel of Christ preached, Mark 16:15, and you believed the message, the power of that gospel, and you obeyed it, and you were baptized and were saved. You repented of your sins, were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and added by the Lord to His body, the Lord's church, added to the saved. I wonder, will this receive any emphasis at your funeral service? You became a child of God. How will you be remembered that you love to read and talk about the Bible? Or would others who knew you best remember how you like to spend your time reading other things and other books and talk about other things and sports? Boy, he loved sports. He loved, talk about a diehard Seattle Seahawks fan. Talk about, he loved the St. Louis Cardinals. Right now I'm talking about myself. I'm not just picking on sports. I enjoy sports. Some of you could care less about it. I enjoy sports. Boy, he really loved golf. He played golf all the time. And it's okay to have hobbies. But is that what we want to be remembered for? He was a NASCAR fanatic. Wow. Or boy, he or she loved God's Word. They were always reading God's Word. You go over and the Bible wasn't left here at the church building. The Bible wasn't just collecting dust on the table. They knew it. They read it. They spoke of it to others. They meditated in it day and night. They hungered and thirsted for the righteousness that God's Word contains so they would be filled. They studied. They were a student. They studied to show themselves approved to God, a workman who needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. They were diligent to do that, as Paul says there in 2 Timothy 2:15. When the day comes that I receive the phone call that my grandmother in Florida has passed away, and I've expected it for a few years, she's 96, Parkinson's disease, and is not doing well whatsoever. But she's our Lois. She's our Lois. You know what I mean by that? Timothy's grandmother Lois? She's the spiritual rock through the years of our family. For my dad, for myself, for so many of us. How many she has taught and continued to teach all the way up until she just couldn't because of her health. And she was always, always, always reading her Bible. Whenever I saw her reading her Bible, talking about the Scriptures, teaching others. And so that's going to get a lot of emphasis when it comes time to conduct her funeral service. What about yours? What about mine? How will you be remembered? That you're a faithful and active member of the local church? Every time the doors opened, they were here. He was here. She was there. They were here. They considered one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. That wasn't their manner. That wasn't their habit. They were faithful. And not only were they here, they put God first in their lives 24/7, every day. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And they did that. In Romans 12:11, they were fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, not lagging in diligence. They weren't lazy. They were active members. They participated. Maybe the elders could say of you that they would even come up to me and ask me, is there anything that you need me to do? What can I do to help out this local group, this local church? Use me. Please. And so it could be said of you, 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Can that be said about you right now? If your funeral service was at the end of this week, could this be said of you, that you're a faithful, active member? Because if we're just talking strictly attending services, that would fit a lot of my brethren. But if we're talking about they're here and they're active, I'm afraid that a lot of names might get knocked off the list of being active participants in the work of the Lord that goes on. How will you be remembered? Will you be known by one and all for your godly character? Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:13 says, be salt unto the earth. Salt loses its flavor. How shall it be seasoned? It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Verse 14, you are the light of the world, he says. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. He says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that all who are in the house may see it. And then he would say in verse 16, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Is that how you would be remembered? Man, her character, his character was so godly. Their light shone brightly throughout their life. And when I come to Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3 and read about the putting off of the old man and putting on of the new man created in true righteousness and holiness according to God, that folks would think of you, brethren and family and friends would think of you because, yeah, they learned the gospel, they followed the gospel, they practiced it in their life, they were honest, they had integrity, they did not lie. Ephesians 4. 25. They work with their hands that which is good, so they also could give to those who were in need. Yeah, sometimes they became angry at things that were wrong, but they had control of their anger. And they didn't lose control and have a temper. No, they were angry and they did not sin. They did not let the sun go down on their wrath. And when it comes to their speech, let no corrupt word come out of your mouth. That was them. No corrupt speech. But words that are necessary for edification. And they were kind. Verse 32. They were kind and tender-hearted, forgiving, even as God in Christ forgave you. Is that how you'll be remembered? Because you're known right now by one and all for your godly character? Are there inconsistencies there between what you profess and what you practice and what you do? Are you someone different here in the building than you are out there? And those at work know it. Maybe family knows it. Maybe you've fooled and deceived your brother, not God. How will you be remembered? Will you be remembered as a loving and faithful husband or wife? As the case may be. In Ephesians chapter 5, were you a wife that loved the Lord and thus you happily submitted to the Lord and submitted to your husband as you do to the Lord in all things, were subject to him? Did you respect your husband? Verse 33. Did you show him respect? Or when he wasn't around and you were with a group of ladies, you talked him down, made fun of him? It's not respectful. It's not honoring him. And husbands, did you love your wife just as Christ also loved the church, or did you mistreat her? Did you oftentimes speak harshly and roughly with her and not give her honor as unto the weaker vessel, 1 Peter 3:7? Did you nourish and cherish her just as Christ also did the church? Did you have that sacrificial love for her? And she knew that in a moment you would give your life for her because of your sincere and fervent love. And you want to meet her needs and dwell with her with understanding. Is that how you would be remembered? As a devoted parent that brought up your children in the ways of the Lord? That you taught your children from an early age, they must obey you. They must show you respect. They must show you honor. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You taught them that way. You brought them up that way. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, verse 4, but bring them up. And how? The training and admonition of the Lord. That was your focus, moms and dads. And that is your focus right now. And you're doing your utmost best to bringing up your children in the Lord. Or those who have babies or babies on the way, you're already resolved. That's the way we're going to do it in our home. Like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's coming first. And they're going to know that. And they're going to respect God and honor Him and obey Him. And they're going to obey us. And they're going to show respect for other parents and those who are older. And that's just the way it's going to be. And when they need to be disciplined, they're going to receive discipline. That's part of the training. Okay? It's not going to be just a mere timeout. I tell you what my timeout was. Go to your room. I'll be there in a few minutes. It was a terrible timeout. I knew what was coming. And it wasn't pleasant. It wasn't pleasant, right? Yeah, the Bible. The Bible speaks of that. God speaks of that in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. No, it wasn't. But painful. Amen. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been what? Trained by it. Not hit or miss all, now and then. Idle threats. You're going to get it. Now, if I was told I was going to get it, I mean, they had to have amnesia for me not to get it. Right? And the worst was with, you know, I misbehaved during services. Right? Not good. Especially when Dad's up here preaching. No, not good. How are you going to be remembered as a parent, though? Well, they kind of let their kids do kind of whatever. They kind of let them run wild. Yeah, they should have had better control over who they hung out with, their friends. And they let them stay out really late and didn't really set a curfew for them. And they kind of got into the wrong crowd and drinking and, you know. And no, not in your home. Not in my home. There's rules, there's a standard, and they're going to follow it. And if not, how will you be remembered? That you shared the good news with those you met? I already mentioned that, but that's another thing we'll get a lot of emphasis in my grandmother's funeral service. It didn't matter who it was. It doesn't matter where she was. They're going to hear about the gospel. It didn't matter when a former Playboy model moved next door. They were going to hear about the gospel. It didn't matter when lesbians were her neighbors. They were going to hear the gospel. It didn't matter when she went in the nursing home. Everybody that was near her was going to hear about the gospel and about services and about a preacher that was coming to the nursing home to teach a Bible study so she would invite them to go to it. She was always sharing the good news. And when I think about it, I feel ashamed. I still have much to measure up to. But Acts 8:4, when there's a great persecution, the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. The Christians were scattered and they went everywhere what? Preaching the word. Brethren, just like you, went preaching the word. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings. Now, that's probably about the least beautiful thing we think about our physical bodies, our feet, right? But here, spiritual feet. Because what do our feet do? They take us. Go and preach the gospel. How beautiful are the feet who preach glad tidings. The good news, the gospel, right? You remember the armor of God? We're to shod our feet with what? The preparation of the gospel. Because our feet go and move and take the gospel. And you remember from Sunday morning personal evangelism class, 2 Corinthians 5:10-11. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may give an account for what he's done in the body, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But is that what you did in your life? Did you ever share the good news with those you met, those you knew? Did you ever invite anyone to services? Ever invite folks to the gospel meeting? Ever try to set up Bible studies either with yourself or with Joe or whoever? One of the most important things that we can be involved in is the saving the precious souls that are lost all around us. Did you do that? Did you try? Or is it that song, "You Never Mentioned Him to Me"? How will you be remembered? That you remain faithful to the Lord until the end? Christ Himself said in Revelation 2:10 to the saints in Smyrna, "Be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life." And there in that context, and in my understanding of the word there is faithful to the point of death. He just talked about persecution that they were going to go through and suffer. And not too many verses later, he would talk about Antipas, my faithful martyr. Are you willing to give your life for the Lord, if necessary, for the cause of Christ? Being faithful to Christ is not just obeying the gospel, being baptized. It's not just having your picture in the picture directory or your name in the directory. It's not just coming here. It's coming here. That's a big part. We emphasize that already. But it's a life that's devoted to Christ. It's as Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ. That's what my life is all about. It's Christ, and to die is gain. Yeah, Paul thought about death. He thought about his funeral, so to speak, often when you read his writings. He longed to depart, which he knew would be far better. But what legacy will you leave behind? Tell me. What things truly matter in the end, in the final analysis, when all is said and done, in the big picture? What matters? Do not these things matter the most? Before we conclude the lesson, if you don't mind, I'd like to get something off my chest. As you can imagine, as a preacher, as a minister, I've been asked to conduct many funeral services. No doubt as Randy and Joe have. And I've really grown weary, discouraged, frustrated at times when I meet or talk with family members, Christians and non-Christians, but typically it's Christians, about the services and how they want them conducted or they don't want them conducted. And numerous times I've been told, it's been requested, we don't want you to preach a sermon. This has been said to me, we don't want the plan of salvation presented by Christians, brethren. We want this to be a joyous occasion. In other words, I guess if you preach a sermon and use too many scriptures or certain scriptures, then it won't be a joyous occasion. Well, you know, we want the service to just focus on the good memories, the fun times. Typically, such remarks make me wonder why they even bothered to contact me in the first place. After all, they're asking a gospel preacher not to preach. I know this is what you do on a day-to-day basis, but don't do it on this occasion. Kind of want you to be an MC. But if there was ever an appropriate time to teach and present the Word of God to sinners and saints alike, it's at a funeral service. Some have not heard the truth for many years. They heard it when they were younger. They heard it when they were teenagers. And then they got a little older and they rebelled and they moved out of the house and moved out on their own and they had their own families, but mom or dad or grandma or grandpa passed away and they're there. And they need to hear the old story again. They need to have some memories brought back up to the surface. They need to be reminded of some spiritual truths, some eternal truths. They need to think about their lost condition right now. They need to think about the hope, hopefully, that mom or dad or grandma or grandpa have that they don't, but that they know about. And that mom and dad and grandma and grandpa want them to have so much. And not only that, others who are there have never been exposed to the gospel of Christ. Never heard it. But listen, here's my thing. If you don't want me to preach at your funeral service, then don't ask me to conduct your service for your family member, your loved one. Because I'm told to preach the Word in season, out of season. And that doesn't mean I'm going to get up there and be mean-spirited and ugly and try to upset everybody. That's not it. I'm going to try to do my best to speak words of comfort. And I don't mind reflecting on some good memories and stories about that loved one, but I'm a preacher and this is going to be my focus. This is going to be my emphasis. And already this year I've conducted 5. And thankfully I haven't been asked. These requests haven't been made so far. And if they were, you know, But I've had some wonderful opportunities with many non-Christians. Some who were and fell away. Some who were raised in a godly home and never obeyed the gospel. And many just from denominations. Never heard the truth. And some good things have happened. Some opportunities have been presented. And I don't say that to, I hope you understand, to uplift myself. But the gospel was presented. And they heard it. And so, my job's not to please men, but to please God. He's the one I have to give an answer to, an account to. But you remember opening text, Ecclesiastes 7? The living take it to heart. Better to go to the house of mourning than house to feasting. Don't you like to go where there's laughter and everyone's having a good time and having fun than a funeral service? But God says that, God's word says that does us a lot much more good. Does us good. And so they need to be reminded what matters most is to fear God and keep His commandments. And there's a judgment day coming. There's a judgment day coming. They have an appointment with death. They need to think about, you need to think about your appointment with death. There's a judgment day coming. You need to think about the brevity of life and how uncertain it is. And if you're not in a right relationship with God, you need to be. Like your loved one who was faithful to the Lord. All right. I'll get off my soapbox. Yes, we all experience physical death. But all men also experience spiritual death because of our sins. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Now what happens in physical death, of course, is the spirit separated from the body. When that happens, there's death. But there's also death, the Bible says, when we've sinned, spiritually speaking, there's a separation. The sinner from God. Remember Isaiah 59:1-2? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear you. Your sins are the problem. And they have separated you from your God. And that being the case, every sinner needs to make the decision to die with Christ, to surrender their will to His will. As Paul says in Romans 6, verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. We must die with Christ. We must put that old man of sin to death, as Paul speaks of here in Romans 6. Notice in your New Testaments with me. Romans 6. Verse 1, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Have you died with Christ yet? Have you been buried with Him in baptism? Have you been baptized into His death? Have you experienced that death, burial, and resurrection from the watery grave of baptism? Put to death that old man of sin. Have you been born again of water and the Spirit? If not, you're lost and condemned, and you won't live with Him until you die with Him. Revelation 14, verses 12 and 13. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. May that describe you. May that describe me. that we are those who have kept the commandments of God. Yet there's commandments we must keep. And that affects our eternity and where we will spend eternity. And yes, we must keep the faith of Jesus Christ. And we must die in the Lord to ultimately, eternally be with the Lord. And yes, the faithful saints rest from their labors and their works follow them. And those are the easiest funerals to do. And I don't mean there's no sorrow, that there's no heartache, that there's no pain because a loved one has died, one that has meant so much to us, so close to us, a family member, a brother, sister in Christ that we love dearly. But by that I mean, here's a faithful child of God. And that makes my job so much easier because their works follow them. And they do at that funeral service, and they do after that funeral service. And they give great comfort to the family. And so friends, dear friends, make sure that when you die in the Lord. Not outside of the Lord. That you have kept the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. What works will follow you? How will you be remembered? What legacy will you leave behind? If you will, take out your hymn book, open to the song of invitation, please. Well, if you've been curious about your funeral service, there's the lesson. That's what it was about. I hope it was helpful to you. I hope there was some benefit to you and some way spiritually. I trust that it was, if it was true to God's Word. So what about you right now, tonight? Are you in a right relationship with Jesus Christ? With God your Father in heaven? Are you a child of God? Are you a New Testament Christian? Have you obeyed the gospel? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John 20, 31. That you are willing to repent of your sins as commanded of all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17, 30. And you're ready to confess that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, as Peter did in Matthew 16. And as we must to be saved, as the eunuch did in Acts 8. And are you ready to say, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? I'm ready to die with Christ that I may live with Him. We stand ready and happy to assist you if you're ready to make that great and most important decision. If you are a child of God, there's sin in your life, then you haven't been living right, and you are thinking about tonight, hopefully about your funeral service. And beyond that, your eternal destination. If you've been sowing to the flesh, in the flesh you'll reap corruption. If that's the case, repent. And sow to the Spirit. That of the Spirit you may reap everlasting life. But if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, would you make that known as together we stand and we sing.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall be no more.